This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, it's all about electric vehicles. So we're going to be joined by two experts in the field to talk about the experience of owning and driving an EV and the issue of charging, particularly whether our infrastructure supports it well enough. This is part of a series on Energizing the Future, powered by Tenaga Nasional. If you have any questions about EVs, now's the time. That number to call is 7733-2900. Send us a voice note and WhatsApp 018-789-8888. Tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So, as you may remember, the government has said that it will begin making the switch to electric vehicles beginning from 2023, and promoting of EVs has been an increasing priority for the government, particularly following the pledge in the 12th Malaysia Plan for 2021 to 2025 to become carbon neutral by 2050 earliest. And this is something that was outlined in the Low Carbon Mobility Blueprint, a study that was published by the Malaysian Green Technology and Climate Change Centre last year, in which they actually listed that the adoption of battery electric vehicles, or BEVs, for use in government, as well as GLC fleets. And the idea here is that this will encourage wider adoption, with the government leading by example. However, when we talk about making this shift on a wide scale, right, I think the question always comes up about whether our infrastructure, well, it's a couple of things, whether habitually we are ready to make that shift, and whether there are enough charging stations. Does our infrastructure support it? At this moment in time, Malaysia has only about 600 EV charging stations, and the government has pledged to build 10,000 stations by 2025 in collaboration with the private sector. So that's a start, and that's also something that we're going to be diving into in more detail after this. So we'd like to hear from you. Are you interested in getting an EV? Is it something you've been thinking about? And send us any questions you have about owning one, driving one, charging one, making the shift. It's really an opportunity, I think, to speak to people who can give you answers. So call us 7733-2900. Send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be joined by Muhammad Junaizi Muhammad Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at Tenaga Nasional Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. So keep it here and stay tuned to Energizing the Future, powered by Tenaga Nasional. Tonight, it really is going to be an hour and a bit of electric vehicles. So we're going to be running through what it's like to own and drive them. We're going to be running through charging. So basically, if you have any questions about EVs, or if you're thinking of making a shift, now's the time to weigh in. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you have questions. You can call us 7733-2900. You can send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, or drop us a WhatsApp there as well, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So joining us now to answer my questions, and really yours, are Muhammad Junaizi Muhammad Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at Tenaga Nasional Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. Junaizi, Thiru, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lin.
Thank you, Lin.
So let's start with you, Junaizi. What can you tell us about the EV charging infrastructure in Malaysia at the moment? How accessible is it? Where is it distributed?
Thanks, Lin, for that question. Currently, there are about 600 public charging stations nationwide, and we have close to 60 DC fast chargers, especially along the highways and major trunk roads at this point. And the government has plans, in fact, government has plans to install up to 10,000 chargers by 2025. At our end, TNB has announced about 90 million ringgit in investments to spur the adoption of EVs over the next few years, next 3 years actually. And we will deploy, and with this budget, we'll deploy electron stations, standalone DC fast chargers, and also destination chargers. As the EV ecosystem picks up in Malaysia, industry players, including the private sector, are jumping into the bandwagon to collaborate and get the nation EV ready. And we're also working with partners such as Plus, Sime Darby, DHL, and a few other companies to improve the charging infrastructure here in Malaysia as well.
So, Thiru, for an electric vehicle newbie, which I certainly am, can you take us through the process of charging it up? What's it actually like?
So, basically, you know, there's two types of chargers and two broad areas of charging. So, you have the AC chargers, which are the wall boxes that you see in condominiums, malls, and all of that. And you've got the high-speed DC chargers, which are typically mounted by the side of highways, you know, R&Rs and all of that. So home charging is quite straightforward. You know, you if you have a landed property, you just install a wall box in your house and it's done within a day and you're pretty much good to go. If you live in a condominium, things are a little bit more tricky because, you know, you've got to get the whole management corporation on board to agree to implement these charges. And but pretty much the usage of it is the same. So, but when you talk about DC chargers and public charging, then you're typically talking about charging at petrol stations, highway R&Rs and all of that. And the user buys typically credit on an app and uses this credit to charge the vehicle. So these are basically, I mean, broadly speaking, the two key areas.
So if I'm a user myself, right, and I have the option of public charging, private charging, when would I choose to do what, basically? How do the two intersect?
Okay, so ideally you want to charge at home. Ideally, right? So there's two aspects here. One is charging speed and the second is convenience. So daily, it's pretty much like charging your phone. You'd want to just come back home after hard days of work, plug in your car into your charger and, you know, be done. And this should take you for your day-to-day. But now when you have to go outstation, you know, and you have to travel a long distance, then you might want to really check on, you know, where the DC chargers are along your driving route. And, you know, you might want to plan your trip accordingly.
So typically, right, how far can you get on a charge? And I think maybe the easiest comparison is to think of it as a full 30-litre tank versus a full charge. What kind of distance are we talking?
Okay, so for a full 30-litre tank, right, I mean, typically if you take a fuel efficiency of about 8 litres per 100 km, you're talking about just over 400 kilometres, right? And if you see for a typical EV, they have an average battery capacity of about 80 kilowatt hours. And the conversion is 1 kilowatt hour, roughly gives you about 5 km. So it's typically 400 km as well.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, this range anxiety that people keep talking about, I mean, it's a little overstated, I feel. I mean, especially if you're going outstation, you're going outdoors, yes. But pretty much, you know, a charge in your house daily and you're done.
Can I check whether it depends on how heavy-footed you are? Because that's the truth, right? Like when you're driving a gas car, if you're more heavy-footed, then obviously it's going to diminish. Yeah.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, the mileage that you get will depend on your vehicle, your driving patterns and all these things. But broadly speaking, and this is the number that that you're looking at, it's not going to run too much off. I mean, of course, there would be a difference between an SUV, for example, and a lighter vehicle. But pretty much, I mean, I think the average numbers are around, for an 80 kilowatt hour battery, you would get about 400. And this is a number that's going to be increasing, you know, as battery tech improves.
So how long have you been driving an EV?
So I primarily drive a plug-in hybrid for about the last 2.5 years odd. And I've driven a full EV, you know, occasionally, you know, here and there.
And yeah. Junaizi, yourself?
Yeah, I'm driving an EV now. Mm-hmm. Typically, I charge at home. And when my car has a 58 kilowatt hour battery, almost 60 kilowatt hour battery, and I have a 7 kilowatt charger at home, installed at home, and from zero, it takes about 8 hours for me to charge to 100%. But I normally don't leave my battery to zero before I charge. Normally, if I charge when it gets down to about 30 or 20%. So it takes less than 8 hours, about 6 hours for me to charge the car to full at home. And when I travel long distances, I normally have to plan my trips so that I want to make sure that the battery power is enough to take me to my destination. And if that's not enough, then I'll have to find a place where I need to charge my car. And that's where I need the DC fast chargers at along the highways or the major trunk routes. Because I don't have time to wait for the battery to be, I mean, the car to charge for a long time. I need really, really fast chargers along the way. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about not waiting till it drops to zero, because right. I'm thinking about it from the perspective of charging a phone, right?
Correct.
And there's so many tips about, you know, don't let it drop to zero so on. Is that the same?
It's almost the same. Yes. When we talk to car manufacturers, they don't recommend us to drive our car until zero, because it's, you know, it will affect the some of the electronics in the car. So when you hit the nail on the road just now when you mentioned that, just like charging our phone, when we see the battery level goes down to 20% or even less than that, that's where you're going to start charging. And depending on where you are, it's either use the DC fast chargers or normal AC chargers. Yeah.
We have a question from MI who wants to know fast charging. So, you know, home charging 8 to 10 hours. Fast charging, how long?
Okay, depending also on the power of the charger. Right now we have about 60 kilowatt up to 180 kilowatt charges. For my car, when I charge my car from using the 180 kilowatt charger, it takes from 45% to 80%, it takes only about 12 minutes. So, the higher the output of the charger, the faster it is to charge the car to whatever battery level you want it to.
We have a voice note we are asking for voice notes from everyone. I'm just going to be upfront and say that this voice note comes from our colleague on the station, Richard Bradbury, who, of course, hosts our car show. So it made sense to ask him to send one in. Here is Richard.
Despite incentives, electric vehicles are still very expensive and now only appeal to a certain demographic. How can we help bring down the cost to help promote mass adoption of electric vehicles? Also, do you think that there's enough infrastructure in Malaysia currently to then support mass adoption of electric vehicles here in Malaysia?
Let me try and address this first. Yeah. Admittedly, the EVs are about 20 to 30% more expensive than normal gas-powered cars. But the government is playing its role. Last year, in budget last year, the government announced that there is no excise duty, there is no import duty. Until July this year, there's no sales tax, and even road tax is also zero. So despite that, we've not been getting cars that are for the masses, if I put it that way. What we see now in Malaysia are cars that are of higher bracket, of higher brands high-end brands, and we are actually looking forward to more affordable vehicles, especially vehicles from China, mid-tier brands that are going to be imported into Malaysia. So getting cars into the country needs to be facilitated also, because the conditions needs to be met. You know, a lot of conditions needs to be met, especially when it comes to safety, when it comes to features that adapt to, you know, how we use the vehicles here in Malaysia. So those are the things that actually affect the current situation of EVs here in Malaysia. And the second question is about the charging infrastructure. Yes, we are at the nascent stage at this point. We think that we still don't have enough chargers, but a lot of efforts are being taken by so many parties at this point to increase the number of public chargers. The government, in fact, in the low carbon mobility blueprint that they announced 1 year ago, indicated that we are targeting 10,000 chargers by 2025. And this includes 1,000 DC fast chargers and 9,000 AC chargers, public chargers all over the place. Yeah.
Thiru, did you want to add on?
I think just to add on to what Inche Jun said, I think the strongest driver for cost is actually going to be the battery technology. So if you see the prior, the battery itself, you know, comes up to about 30-40% of, it's the single biggest expensive component of the EV car. And this battery price has dropped like almost 90% over the last 10 years. So, you know, depending on which consultant you listen to, the most optimistic forecasts predict price parity with ICE vehicles to be potentially achieved somewhere between 2025 and 2028. So, around that time, you know, you reach parity and then you become cheaper. And then, you know, the effectively in the long run, the cheapest vehicle or most cost-effective vehicle for a given range is going to be the electric vehicle.
Mm. And everything is headed in that direction
everything
at the moment.
Everything is headed in. I mean, when you see any quantity dropping 90% over 10 years, be it in any industry, you know it's going to cause a massive transformation, you know, in the whole industry. So this is the core driver that is driving this whole EV transformation. The government incentives and, you know, all subsidizations and all the various, you know, support activities being done, these are just trying to hasten this process and bring it forward a little bit. But ultimately, the core driver here is going to be the technology.
Yeah.
If we could return briefly, you mentioned, Thiru, earlier, range anxiety. And I think that that is something that does come up from time to time. And I just wanted to close off by asking you both, really, how does having an EV shape the way you plan your commutes or travels? Has it changed significantly or not so much?
Pretty much. I think this is actually primarily an issue only when you go out of town, and
like road trips.
Mm-hmm. If you see the average EV car can give you 400 km on a full charge, and I mean, if you just compare apple to apple, nobody uses a full tank of petrol every day, and you know, nobody's worried about, you know, where am I going to go and pour petrol every day. You know, this is just that this is something new, so people are really zooming and asking all these questions. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, if you can charge a battery 400 km, you know, you at most charge it every couple of days. It's pretty much like how you pour petrol. But meanwhile, this is something that you can just do at home. So you don't even have to go somewhere to charge it most of the time. So
yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, I charge my car at home most of the time. I find it very convenient. And it's also the cheapest way to charge my car. And also, what we want to achieve is a situation where you can find chargers everywhere, you know, just like when you drive a petrol or diesel cars now, there are petrol stations everywhere. You know, you can every 5, 6, 10 kilometers probably there is one petrol station. So we want to achieve that situation for electric vehicles as well, if possible. Yeah,
we're speaking today with two gentlemen. Here to answer your questions about electric vehicles, about charging. So do send them our way. We're joined today by Mohammad Junaizi Mohammad Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at the Naga National Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. And we want to hear from you. Are you interested in getting an EV? And send us any questions you have about driving and charging one. That number to call is 7733-2900. That number to voice note or WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned to Energizing the Future, powered by the Naga National.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
Our segment today is a conclusion in some ways of a series of shows on Energizing the Future, powered by the Naga National. And we're focusing on electric vehicles, which is why we've been asking you, are you interested in getting an EV? And if you have any questions at all about driving, charging, what have you, now's the time. You can call us 7733-2900. Send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So I believe we have a caller on the line with us. We've got Rubinathan. Rubinathan, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good evening. Just say hello to Jay Mohammad Junaizi. I think I know him. Okay, you know, this subject which you have raised, electric vehicles. Okay, ICE has been around and stable for a long time. Now the electrics have come into the picture. But if you just step back, the government was at one time supporting gas-powered vehicles. But they never did very much. You know, they didn't have enough filling stations and all that. And, of course, it just fizzled out except for taxis. Same with the charging. I see the same parallel with the charging stations. You know, not enough charging stations, and you want people to buy electric vehicles. Okay, I step back in another direction and say, you know, the electric vehicles are not completely carbon-free. Somebody has to generate the electricity. And I'm very surprised why TNB is getting into the picture. They are just electricity utility generating. Why are they supporting all this? This is for government to support. And coming back to this subject again, you know, there are so many other technologies. You know, the Western countries are dumping their electric vehicles on Earth. And, you know, and we get excited by buying electric vehicles. But as the other speaker pointed out, the cost of the batteries were very high, even though they say the part count is less. But, okay, I just go back. There are other technologies. Hydrogen, which Japan is supporting, I completely support hydrogen because it goes back to nature. Nature has used water to produce hydrogen, energy, cellulose, and everything for billions of years. So why can't they use hydrogen? Why don't they look at that technology? With Japan, some people might say foolish, but Japan is supporting this. So are we rushing into this in a mad rush just because the electric vehicles are there? And as pointed out, there is no parity between ICE and electric until 2028. So for people who don't have much money, they should just wait and watch. I think I can keep on talking.
No, thank you, Rubinathan. That was a series of, I think, four to five separate points. Yeah. Okay, let's try to tackle them.
Right. On the first point, which he mentioned that, or Carlo mentioned that it's not 100% clean when you use EVs. But we've done a study, TNB Research especially, did a study earlier. And with the current generation mix that we have in TNB, from well to wheel, it is actually 23% cleaner to use EVs compared to normal gas-powered internal combustion engine vehicles. So, yes, the current generation mix, we still have coal, we still have gas. But all in all, if you drive an EV with the current generation mix, the study showed that 23% is clean. If you use EVs, it's 20% cleaner compared to ICE vehicles, internal combustion engine vehicles. Second question is talks about TNB's role in this whole EV space. Why is TNB playing it? Well, the reason being, we are the electricity provider of the country. Electricity will be the fuel for these vehicles, now and the future. And that is where we play that role. We want to make sure that the electricity is robust enough, is enough to cater for the growing number of EVs on the roads. So that is why that is where we play, actually, the role that we play to ensure that the grid is robust enough and the electricity supply is enough to cater for the growing demands. Right. The third item was the cost of batteries. Like what my Datuk Thiru mentioned earlier, the cost of batteries really determine the cost of vehicles. But there are options, actually. When you look at a country like China, China has so many different types of electric vehicles. Actually, they have millions, actually, in running on the roads in China. And they have a variation. They have from the smallest one to the biggest one, from the cheapest one to the most expensive ones. So perhaps what we see now here in Malaysia is actually the high-end vehicles, but they are actually... elsewhere, there are actually vehicles or EVs that are a lot cheaper and a lot more affordable for the masses. So I think it's just a matter of trying to bring them here so that it is more acceptable by the masses here in Malaysia. The fourth item that was mentioned is about hydrogen technology. Hydrogen, I think, is still quite a long way to go for us to use hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, primarily because we need to first produce hydrogen. And producing hydrogen requires a lot of electricity as well, you know, the electrolyzer and stuff like that. And you need dispensers. You need stations that dispense hydrogen, and we don't have those infrastructure yet. So I believe that EVs and in the future or later, EVs and hydrogen subsidical will grow in parallel. But right now, I think the easiest transition that we can to make the environment more cleaner is to use electric vehicles. It's more readily available. It's more easier to operate and to maintain as well.
If I could add on to that, you mentioned earlier private sector players, right? That's what we started our show with in some ways, that we're also seeing that kind of eagerness for participation. What role will private sector players have in this infrastructure?
Okay. When you talk about the ecosystem of EVs, right, there are four elements. There are four elements in the EV ecosystem. One is the electric vehicles itself, lah. I mean, without electric vehicles, we will probably not be here. That's number one. Number two is actually the grid, because that's where electricity comes from. Number three is the charging point or the charging infrastructure itself, where it is connected to the grid, and that's also where it's connected to the car to charge, right? And then finally, the software or the app that actually operates these chargers. So, but depending on the private sector, depending on these four elements, there are different businesses that people the private sector can actually contribute. So if you are a car manufacturer, if you are a car importer, I think the role there is to bring in as many cars as possible, as many affordable cars as much as possible. That's number one. For the charging infrastructure itself, if charge point operator companies, their role is actually to make sure that the number of chargers, public chargers, grow, and that is probably where they can play. Together with the software as well, because this software is required to operate the chargers. So, of course, the grid is TMB is playing its role there. I think it is our bread and butter actually, and we must make sure that we will make sure that the charging points, or rather the grid, is ever ready and robust enough to cater for the electric vehicle loads. So yeah, that's the probably my take on that.
We have a series of questions about battery and charging cost. So let's start with this from Mukta and Anil, both of whom are asking, does a fast DC charge affect the life of a battery? Will it shorten it? I mean, like a mobile phone, for example, it will affect battery life.
Studies have shown that the DC fast chargers can reduce the life of the battery because of the high power and high current that's coming from the charger itself directly into the battery. This is a situation which is normal, is designed for the car to accept DC fast chargers, which is why when you charge a car with DC fast chargers, when you reach 80% of the battery, the battery management system or the BMS of the vehicle will actually reduce the current that goes into the battery. This is to protect the battery, because when it comes to that level, the battery is only going to be heated up. And by reducing the current that goes from the charger to battery, when the battery reaches 80% capacity, it actually reduces the impact on the battery. And when it reduces impact on the battery, it will preserve the life of the battery so that it doesn't deteriorate so much from its original state. So to answer the question again, yes, DC fast charging affects, but there are elements in the car, in the electronics of the car, that actually protects the battery from getting deteriorated at a fast rate.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line with us. We've got John. John, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, evening, Lynn. Hello.
Hi.
So there's two questions for me to ask. The first question is, how much is the actual cost for me to get an EV docking charger station to be installed at my home? So that's the first question. The second is, how much will this EV charger affect my monthly electricity bill? Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling, John. So who would like to take that?
Yeah. So typically, EV charger installed, in a landed property, I mean, depending, it would average, say, somewhere between around 6,000 to 8,000, that range, depending on, the type of EV charger that you're installing. And with regards to your consumption, so the average Malaysian, I mean, you go on average stats, the average Malaysian drives somewhere around 2,000 km a month. So if you convert this back to electricity, 1 kilowatt hour gives you about 5 km. So that means about 400 kilowatt hours a month. At 57 cents, I think, home electricity rates, you're talking about, say, about just over 200 ringgit a month for the average guy. That's how much they would use.
And then as opposed to one who drives a car, I think one would probably spend about 300 to 400 ringgit a month in petrol.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you compare apple to apple, I think it shows, I think, around potentially the metric that you should look for is your cost per kilometer, right? And the cost per kilometer for an EV is somewhere around 11 cents. Whereas if you see for the average ICE vehicle, you're talking about somewhere around 17 cents per km. So it's quite substantial.
The savings. Yeah.
So we also, by the way, we had that question not just from John, but also from Ju, Jimmy and Ong. So hopefully that covered some of the cost concerns that have come in. We do also have a voice note from Samuel.
Hi, Samuel here. How do you solve the problem of people living in condominiums and high-rise buildings? How will they get access to charging ports? Thank you.
Okay, so condominiums present a bit of a tricky situation because basically the chargers have to be installed in common areas. So broadly speaking, you have two types of chargers that you can implement in a condo. So the first would be a shared charger. So this is typically, you know, installed in a 2 or 3 visitor parking bays, and it's for the common use of all the residents within that building. So and these chargers, you know, are either provided by the building themselves, as in the management corporation buys these chargers, or otherwise, you know, there are third party charge point operators that would provide these chargers. Now, this would be good for the initial stages when you have maybe about up to 10 people, you know, sharing 3 chargers and all of this. This would be fine. But as the numbers start to climb, and if you realize that the average condominium in Malaysia has about 300 units, right? When you reach a point when 50 people want to charge, 100 people want to charge, right? You can't be lining up to charge at a shared charger, you know, after a hard day at work, right? You're not going to do that. You need to charge in your own lot. So the long-term solution in a condo is going to be what we call private chargers, chargers that are installed in your own parking lot. However, the challenge is this. You cannot do this in an ad hoc manner because for multiple reasons, it's going to be vastly more expensive. It is unsafe because this is a high-power infrastructure that needs to be maintained. And, you know, lastly speaking, it will be very aesthetically unpleasing, to put it mildly. So you would need a centralized infrastructure that will enable the residents of these condominiums to have chargers in their own parking lot. So this will be the long-term direction.
We are speaking today with Mohd Junaizi Mohd Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at Tenaga Nasional Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. Send us your questions. If you want to find out anything basically about driving an EV, charging an EV, whether you should get one even, you can call us 7733-2900, send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We've been talking today about electric vehicles and asking you really for your questions because now's a good time. We have two experts on the show who can answer them. So are you interested in getting an EV? Do you have any questions about driving, about charging one? Call us 7733-2900. Send us a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So we have still so many points coming through. Let's start with this one from Jord because we've been discussing the infrastructure a bit. And Jord has a question about, well, a classic Malaysian question in some ways, maintenance, saying, what is the readiness of EV maintenance or emergency repairs on the road? Are the technicians trained to repair broken down EVs during emergency? And in terms of carbon footprint, is the charging of the EV better than internal combustion engine, which I think we addressed earlier? And then there's also a separate point about coal and sustainability, which I'm going to save for another question because we've got another one, I think, from Brian who asked that. But if we focus on the issue of maintenance, are we ready?
Okay. Right now, we are like I mentioned earlier, we are still in the nascent stage when it comes to EV proliferation here in Malaysia. We are just starting, and we are relying on the EV suppliers and EV manufacturers to provide the technical support. But we've seen private workshops. Can I say it that way? Starting to appear here in Malaysia. We know that there are at least two or three specialist workshops that can provide its services to EV owners, and with time, I think with training, enough training, and as well as experience, we will see more and more experts in EVs coming along here in Malaysia. But for now, I think yes, you got a point there. It's just that we can always rely on the expertise that come with that come from the manufacturers of the vehicles themselves at this point.
We have another question from Darren, who says, I'd like to know whether allowing ICE vehicles to be converted to EVs, would that be a good way to bring the cost of adoption of EVs down? As far as I understand, the current policy is that the general public aren't allowed to do such conversions. And should, therefore, conversion from ICE to EV be allowed in the future, then what are the costs that we're talking about?
Yeah. Actually, that is another option, actually, to convert our cars to EVs. If you look at certain countries overseas, there are kits that allow us to do this quite easily. But here in Malaysia, like I said earlier, we are still in the early stages of adoption. Converting cars, ICE cars to EVs, could be one of the ways for us to increase the adoption of EVs here in Malaysia. Cost-wise, still questionable because we are not really, we've not seen these kits coming here in Malaysia. But recently I come across one particular company that did that, and it looks to be promising. Yeah.
We have an anonymous question, and I think this is for you, Dr. Thiru, which is, can we get an EV for the price of a low-spec Myvi?
Not yet. But if you see the trends, then I mean, I think this is something that's definitely going to happen within a couple of years. Definitely.
And why not EV motorcycles? A separate anonymous question.
I see no reason why not as well for the EV motorcycles. I mean, it's the same drivers, you know, that are going to drive the uptake of the four-wheelers. The same drivers equally apply for the two-wheelers as well. So I think the economics will slowly shift over in favor of the EVs. And once we pass the parity point, then it's going to be EVs all the way.
We have just 30 seconds left before we have to hit to the news. But I wanted to know, we've been talking a bit about the anxiety of new, right? Do you think that parity is the main issue here, and that shifting to a new technology once the price equalizes is going to, you know, be a simple one?
I think this anxiety is because it's something that's new. And people maybe subconsciously, maybe potentially even relate this to the only other battery that is regular in their life, which is their mobile phone. And this fear they have of mobile phone, you know, running out of charge.
Yeah.
Now, of course, range anxiety, I'm not saying that it does not exist as an issue. But if you see, you can charge your car at home and you can typically get a 400 km range on most EVs. So very few people, you know, drive more than 400 km
in a day.
In a day. So by and large, I mean, this is really not an issue for your day to day. At the moment, yes, of course, the infrastructure still needs to be built out along highways and all of this for, you know, when you go out of town. That is a work in progress, but that is something that definitely will happen as well.
We're speaking today with Muhammad Junaizi Muhammad Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at Danaga National Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. If you have questions, send them our way and stay tuned to Energizing the Future, powered by Danaga National.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
We're continuing our conversation on electric vehicles as part of our series of shows on Energizing the Future, powered by Danaga National. We have been speaking for the past hour and a bit now with Muhammad Junaizi Muhammad Noor, Project Director Director of PMO EV at Tenaga Nasional Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. Keep those questions coming. You can call us 7733-2900, send a voice note or WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So we still have so many questions to get to, but there was one that I wanted to prioritize because as a theme among the comments and thoughts coming through, and it was something I was curious about myself, is the issue of sustainability, right? Because this is going to be, all of this is heavily reliant on our grid and electricity supply, and there are issues of sustainability being asked coming up. Junaizi, perhaps you could tell us about this. How environmentally sustainable is our current power system?
Okay. Thank you so much for that question, Lynn. Currently, TNB has a plan to reduce our emissions from the power sector through our energy transition plan. Under this plan, we will invest in various initiatives. These initiatives cuts across the electricity value chain, and from transitioning power generations to cleaner sources, to enhancing the grid of the future, and also to enable more green solutions. So, but what we want to do is to facilitate customer participation in this energy transition. This will be achieved through the adoption of EVs. So when you talk about sustainability, TNB is doing its part to ensure that our generation is getting cleaner and cleaner as we move forward. And at the same time, we want to also become the enabler for the demand side as well. I'm talking about the supply side just now. For the demand side to also shift from the normal way that we're doing now to a cleaner and greener environment in the future. So we are doing both parts, the supply side, and also now we are also addressing the demand side as well. Yeah.
Again, we're talking about electric vehicles today. So if you have questions, that number to call, 7733-2900. That number to send a voice note or WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Okay, so some questions that we have yet to answer. Subramaniam wants to know, what about the power charging head? Are they the same for all cars?
There are several different types for the cars. I mean, you have for the AC connectors, you've got a type 1, you've got a type 2. For the DCs, you have CCS2, you have a CHAdeMO. However, by and large, the de facto standard that most of the European cars are using is a type 2 and a CCS2 connector. So while there are some earlier models with the type 1, these are becoming, you know, progressively more rare. Some countries such as Singapore have actually legislated that there's only, you know, standardized it to that there's only one charging interface type. In Malaysia, I think we have not actually legislated specifically per se, but de facto is, I'd say the vast majority is, overwhelming majority is type 2 or a CCS2.
And in your view then, is there a need to for that kind of standardization?
I think it would be beneficial if we have a standardization, because then in terms of charging infrastructure, we'd not need to have any duplication of infrastructure to allocate for people who use different connectors, and all cars can use all available chargers ideally. So it would be beneficial in my view.
And at the moment then, if you're thinking about purchasing an EV, this is something that you would have to consider?
It's something that we need to consider, but by and large, I think virtually almost all the latest models that are out on the market right now conform to these interfaces.
Meanwhile, we also have David who says, okay, this is again a very Malaysian question. What if EV cars get caught in a massive jam and it's very, very slow moving, and then actually gives an hour? So what if you're caught in a jam situation like for 5 hours? What then?
Okay, so this is also, something that comes back just to anxiety, because it's something new. I mean, you can ask the similar question of what if I'm caught in a jam with a normal ICE car and, I'm on a quarter tank of petrol, right? I mean, it's the exact same scenario. So like June, explained earlier, worst case scenario, you already have a couple of companies right now who can, provide you with some recovery service. And as the number of EV cars grow and the industry expands, more and more players will come in to provide these kind of services to, for emergencies.
Actually, It's actually more advantageous for you to get caught in the jam in an EV compared to in a normal gas. I mean, ICE vehicles, because when the car is stationary, when the EV is stationary, it only uses a trickle charge from the battery. You know, as opposed to when it's moving, it has to power up the motor. Mm. So that is why it's using a lot more energy from the battery. But when it's stationary, it doesn't power up the motor so much. So you actually. Safer, in a traffic jam.
It's a very good point. So it's more efficient on idle than an ICE vehicle.
Yes.
Oh, that's a nice one, because I think, I don't know about everybody, but when I get stuck in a jam and I watch everything just trickle down, I get so frustrated thinking about my yeah, gas tank. Yeah. So that's a really good point. This is not a question. It's more of a general comment. CM says, I'm an owner of an EV hybrid vehicle since a few months ago. I've been enjoying the benefits of low petrol consumption, despite the fact that I can only use up to 70 km when fully charged. It's sufficient for me to commute between home and work most of the occasions. I currently mostly charge my car at home. With the increase of charging stations around the Klang Valley and hopefully outside, I may consider using these facilities, on a credit subscription arrangement in the future. And just to check, that is what we're looking at, right? A credit subscription arrangement outside?
There are options, yes, for us to pay to charge our car. One is through subscription. The other one is through pay per use. So both has its own advantages and disadvantages as well. I think by and large, it's all up to us to subscribe to some people are more comfortable with pay per use because it's easier for you to budget yourself, and on the other hand, using subscription also is also convenient because you pay a monthly or yearly subscription and they allow you to charge everywhere, anywhere you want to go. So both have its advantages to an EV user, actually.
And I just to add on, I think more and more vehicles come into the market and more players come into the market, I think you'd start seeing a flurry of different business models and different price offerings, perhaps, very similar to the range of models you have for prepaid cards and, mixes of, data and voice. And, so you'll have that equivalent happening in this space as well. Mm-hmm. So different packages for people with different usage profiles.
Mm-hmm. Keep those thoughts coming, or rather... should I say, keep those questions coming. If you would like to ask anything about electric vehicles, that number to call is 7733-2900. You can send a voice note or a WhatsApp as well, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to take those questions and conclude our EV extravaganza over the last 90 minutes or so. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9. My guests today, Mohammad Junaizi Mohammad Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at Tenaga Nasional Berhad, as well as Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of Ziva. And together we have been taking your questions on electric vehicles. If you have more of them, do send them our way. That number to call is 7733-2900. You can drop us a voice note or WhatsApp as well at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Just to say that earlier on in the show, a number of the points that we covered included infrastructure, charging at condos, different modes of charging, how it might look in the future. So if you did miss that, our podcast will be up after the show and you can catch it then. All right. So if we go back to the questions, we have what I think is an interesting one from Berlinda, who says, what will be the cost comparison between using EV as opposed to petrol with no subsidies?
So I think we addressed this question partially earlier, where I think there is almost 30% plus savings at current petrol prices. So if you remove the subsidies, then obviously you're just going to increase the amount of savings, and this increase will definitely be reflected either as a savings to the end user, or it may enable greater investments in charging infrastructure, because there's greater larger savings margins that can be enjoyed.
We do also have a voice note that came in a little bit earlier from Diana.
Good evening. Is there a possibility that EVs will replace normal petrol vehicles as the main vehicle being driven on roads?
Diana, thanks for that question. I was saving this for the end because I thought we were laying the groundwork in many ways for Diana's question. So what are your thoughts?
Okay, let me take that one first. I think eventually, can be, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, eventually, I think we will reach that stage where a majority of the cars on the road will be electric. Either electric or perhaps maybe hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles. The advantages of using EVs are getting more and more apparent, you know, as we experience them here. It's much cleaner, it's quieter, it's smoother, you know, and because of the instantaneous torque, it's much more powerful. And because of that, as more people experience, if you can experience driving or even being driven in an EV, you will get to feel this difference. And I think when you feel the difference, you get hooked onto it. and because of that, you know, you will eventually move towards using an EVs. So to answer that question, Diana, I think, yes, we are moving towards that situation. And it may not be sooner, maybe later, but definitely we're going there.
Yep, I completely agree. I mean, it's just a question of when, and you know, this depends on which consultant you listen to, and a war in Ukraine, and all these, you know, all these factors have either bring this thing slightly forward or slightly earlier, but yeah, definitely this is something that is going to happen.
Can I ask you both? I started off the show by asking you. That whether you drive EVs, you know, considering the topic of our show. But I also wanted to check or just kind of tap into what were the considerations that you made personally when you were thinking about, okay, this is the thing I'm going to do, this is the step I'm going to make. And because I think sometimes that can be a little bit of a mental block, right? Because we're all so familiar with the cars that we know. And like we've been saying over and over again, when there's newness, there's this sense of, well, do I have to study everything now? You know, do I have to check all this long checklist? So what did you both think about before you made that shift?
Okay, for me, I like to drive it. I'm a driving enthusiast actually, and my previous cars are all internal combustion engine vehicles, and as I move from one car to another, it gets better and better. And now I'm driving an EV. I'm not gonna look back. So to address your question, why and what made me think when I jumped into this EV, right? So really, it's about the enjoyment of driving that car or this type of vehicles. At the same time, I'm doing the environment justice. You know, I'm doing the environment justice by not emitting any exhaust fumes, and by doing that, you know, if I put in Malay, menyahut seruan kerajaan.
Well, I drive a plug-in hybrid, and we don't get the same full benefit that you would get with a full EV, but you have savings on usage, and but at a certain segment of the market, there is already, with all the government subsidies and tax waivers that are given, we already have parity to some level at a certain end of the market. So it is actually for many of the luxury brands, it's actually one of the cheaper. It's actually cheaper than equivalent petrol vehicle.
Yeah, not to mention as Datuk Tiru mentioned, the savings that I get when I use EVs compared to internal combustion engine vehicles. If I can save 30 or 40% of what I spent on using my car, I think that's a good enough reason for me to use EVs actually, you know. So I think it all adds up to how much you save and what you do to the environment really.
I think in the long run, the savings is actually going to be one of the key drivers, because, you know, we are a country where, you know, if the price of oil goes up by 10 cents, you know, people line up outside petrol stations, you know, up to midnight to pour, right? Here, you're talking about 30% savings over fuel. So it's really substantial.
So in closing then, your final thoughts on where EVs are headed in Malaysia. Junaizi, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I think EVs will be the way for us to commute. I'm not talking only about private ownership. Even public transportation also is starting to shift towards EVs. You see bus companies, you know, making its effort to change their buses from diesel buses to electric buses. We see taxis moving from, you know, the normal ICE vehicles taxis to EV taxis. And it's just going to be coming and it's just going to be there. I think the adoption rate will be getting higher and higher as we move on. The only thing is that we have got to play our roles. I mean, in doing this, we have to work together. If in the EV ecosystem, whether you are a supplier of cars, whether you are a supplier of electricity, whether you are the charging point operator, all of us have our own roles. And I think a concerted effort by every party in this EV ecosystem will definitely increase the adoption in a much faster rate.
Yeah, and just to add on to what Jun said, two aspects to this. One is the cars, and the second is the ecosystem, right? And over the last year, especially, you know, talking as you know, from ZEVA, Zero Emission Vehicle Association, where most of the major players in this industry across the board have come together to, you know, help. Create this whole new ecosystem that is going to unfold. So in terms of advocating for guideline policies and laws and all these kind of things. So the ecosystem is also really starting to mature, if you see, over the last year.
Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
That was Mohamed Junaizi Mohamed Noor, Project Director of PMO EV at Tenaga Nasional Berhad. You also heard Datuk Thiruchandran Thiruchelvam, Treasurer of ZEVA. Energizing the Future was powered by Tenaga Nasional, and you've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.